All right, Luke chapter 2. Open your Bibles if you close them. All right, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I'm going to start with this, all right? I'm going to try hard not to include this in every sermon from now on, but this week we were able to go to Israel, all right? That's, I know, the horrible thing, like, ah, get rid of that guy, all right? So I'm going to try not to include that in every sermon, maybe a few of them. But many of you visited the Holy Land. That's what they call it, the Holy Land, and certainly there's a lot there. But Bethlehem was kind of surprising. I was surprised. We went to Bethlehem. We sing about, oh, little town of Bethlehem. We read about Bethlehem here in the Bible. You hear about it. And, you know, you have a picture of what Bethlehem is in your mind, and so did I. Now, as the bus was taking us to Bethlehem, and it's really just a short drive from Jerusalem. It's really not far at all, maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes or less in traffic. And so it wasn't far. But I looked up on my app on my phone. I don't know if it was Google Maps or if it was Waze or whatever, which one, but it said this. It said, warning, your drive passes through a high risk or illegal area. I was like, this is going to be exciting, right? So you're kind of looking out the windows. And so it's controlled on the West Bank by the Palestinians. It's owned by Israel, but the Palestinians. So I got a picture. I get a picture of a Palestinian soldier with a full auto, I'm sure it was. AK-47, and he wasn't too happy, but I get his picture anyway, so I live to tell about it. But so a high risk or illegal area, and yeah, I was really disappointed because I took some pictures of the graffiti all around, and it's just kind of political graffiti, and you know, very interesting, a lot of high charged emotions, and it was dirty, and the people were just kind of, I don't know, I won't even give you a word for that, but It was interesting in a bad way, all right? Now, the actual place where the manger was supposed to be, okay, was very ornate and very religious. I mean, you walked in and they had this big cathedral and there's, you know, some of you have seen it before. There's like gold leaf all over the place and there's pictures and there's statues and there's candles burning and there's priests and they're swinging stuff around. And we did get to sing in a Catholic church. It came out really good. First time I've been to the Catholic choir. But we took over the place and we sang Oh Holy Night. It sounded beautiful. 57 people, all different parts. We never practiced, but it was good. And maybe we should do that more often here, huh? No. Different people. And then we sang, It Is Well With My Soul. And the original words of the hymn were in the hotel across the street from where we were staying. And so I went over and took a picture of that. But very religious, very ornate, very lost. But we spent some quiet time abiding in the field. So that was the best part about it. So we went a few minutes drive from where the manger supposedly was, where Jesus was supposedly born, and which, you know, could have been, maybe not. But we were there in the fields of Bethlehem. So there is not a lot of area where the fields could be, but we were in the spot where it probably was. And so as you're sitting there, very quiet, just looking out on just stones and some grass, and just thinking about, this is probably the place where the angels came down, because there's not a lot of room in Bethlehem. It's a pretty small place. And this is probably where the angels announced to the shepherds that Christ was going to be born, and that Christ was born, and then they went to see him. And so that was a very moving place, and we sang some songs, Not Like a Mushroom. All right, we opened our mouth, and blah, we sang. And it was good, and you could hear people. And so we were in the moment, in the mood, and it was just so exciting to be there. But you could feel the tranquility that the shepherds must have felt. So here they are, abiding in the field. It's night. Let's look at the birth of the Savior announced to the shepherds. The birth of the Savior announced to the shepherds. Did you ever feel blessed to be a part of a unique personal advantage that God has given you? Maybe a special thing that God has given you. Maybe other people are included in, but there's a personal advantage God has given you. For example, this week I was reminded, you know, I like to watch people. And so I'm watching people, you know, on a plane, and I'm watching people. You get to a foreign country, you get to Turkey, and it's like, okay, they're a NATO country, but pretty interesting. And that's a good word for today. And so I just like watching people, and the farther you go from home, the more people don't look like you, right? And so it's always interesting. You listen to them talk, and you realize, you know, I live in the United States of America, and you live in the United States of America. We're here today, right? 4% of the world's population lives in the United States of America. That is pretty blessed. You go to other places, I mean, look, as nice as they are, I don't want to live there. You know, one thing in Israel, there's no forest. There aren't, yes, there are no trees, all right? They have They have groves that they plant. They have bananas, which are not natural to the place. They planted about 60 years ago. They have fig trees. They have vines. They have, you know, these date palms, right? But there's no forest. You can get in the car. You can drive 10 minutes from here, and you'll be in the middle of Kandy or Auburn, or you just pick a direction, Goffstown. You'll be in the middle of the woods. There's these big, tall trees, right? All there are rocks. It's like, where did all these rocks? I mean, you just look at it. And of course, you can't drink the water in most places, right? Right, Brother Craig? Can't drink the water. And you get bottles of water. And but, you know, you go different places in the world and you see different things. And you're very thankful that, you know what, I live in the United States of America. We went across a border crossing. And the IDF female soldier gets on the bus. And she looks at everybody. And she has her Uzi or whatever she has. She goes, hello. And everybody goes, hello. And then she turns around and says, goodbye. And we said, goodbye. And that was it. Thank God. But, you know, you live in, you don't have to do that to go to, well, maybe to Massachusetts. You don't have to do that to go to Maine. You don't have to do that to go to Vermont, right? You can travel freely and the people aren't sending you through metal detectors and checkpoints and things. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we are blessed. And so we're part of a blessed group this morning. But maybe you think about that. Now, how must those shepherds have felt? The birth of the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was not given to nobility, was not given to kings. You know, if I was going to announce the birth of the Savior of the world, maybe I'd pick a king or a queen or some royal nobility to, hey, this person is an important person on earth, and they're going to get the message out, so I'm going to bring it to them. But God didn't choose to do that. It was not given to the religious crowd, to the scribes and the priests, to the people who even studied the Old Testament law. It wasn't given to them. It was not given to the movers and shakers in society. Who did God send the message to first? Who? Shepherds. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds were in the field, abiding in the field, verse 8, keeping watch over their flock by night. Hardworking, honest, simple men. Many times the shepherds would take care of other people's sheep, kind of like a community farm, right? They'd take care of other people's sheep. And so they're honest, they're hardworking. They're, you know, can you imagine that lifestyle, nomadic? Now, what was the message? What is its significance? And how does it transcend all these many centuries to today? And on the back of your bulletin, if you want to jot some notes as you go along, there's a little space on there. But let's get those three points. What was the message? Why is it significant? And how does it transcend all the way these many centuries to today? The message of the shepherds, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine the setting? Look at verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping over watch over their flock by what? Night. You know, when you get outside of the city, it's dark. And especially before the advent of streetlights. You know, sometimes you go out in the country. I remember going to Maine one time on vacation. And I said, wow, there's stars. I can't believe it. They have stars in Maine. And I haven't seen stars in a while. You know, sometimes you get so in the city and you look up and you don't enjoy the stars. You can't appreciate the stars. There are some stars, but there aren't. They're still there, but you can't see them. And so here they are. It's dark. No streetlights. No city glow. You know what I'm talking about? Just that city has a glow. You get all these lights going on. All these stores are open and all security lights are on at night. And you see this glow, and that's kind of how you feel. And it's quiet. No sounds. No personal distractions. It's quiet and in the dark of night. There's no radio. There's no TV. There's no phone. The shepherds are probably sleeping and their sheep are in a cave and they're in the door of the cave and everything is quiet and everything is dark. Now they must have been startled. Verse number 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the Bible says, and they were what? Sore afraid. All of a sudden, their tranquility is lighted up by the angel of the Lord. And they hear this voice, and they see this messenger sent from God. I wonder what that looked like. The angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. in the darkness. The message was given in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Why do you suppose he had to say that? They're afraid, right? You'd be afraid too. Boom! All of a sudden, it's like fireworks. Whoosh! The whole sky lights up. Here's an angel. And here's God's message given to these humble men in the darkness and the quiet. Fear not! The first tendency would have been to be afraid. I find a personal message. Fear not, for behold, I bring you. I bring you, shepherds. The people that the angel is talking to. I bring you good tidings of great joy. A personal message. You know, God has a personal message for you. Aren't you glad God is not just, you know, God just didn't create you. It's kind of funny, right? Cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, right? God didn't just make you as one of 8 billion people. You're an individual that God loves very much. You are a soul that Jesus died for. You are someone that God knows your down sittings and your uprisings. He knows your thoughts afar off. He understands your thoughts afar off. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your middle name, right? We don't know your middle name. Those are funny, aren't they? But God knows everything about you. He knows every single thing in your life. God created you. For behold, I bring unto you good tidings, great joy. Personal message. Something to which they could look forward to. You know, think of a shepherd's future. What do you think a shepherd's future was? Hey, I'm going to be keeping these sheep till the cows come home. Right? I'm going to be keeping these sheep for the rest of my life. And I'll be teaching my children to keep these sheep. And we'll be shepherds, and we'll pass that on. And we've lived in these same hills. We've sent the sheep out to graze on these same pastures. We've eaten the same grass how many times? We've seen the same things every day, every year, for our whole life. Now they have something to look forward to. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Something to rejoice. What is there to rejoice about being a shepherd? Hey, we cleared off, you know, 50 acres. Hey, we have to move and migrate over to here. And, you know, it's going to be getting cold out and it's going to rain. And they don't really have a lot to look forward to. A personal message. Something they could rejoice about. And then there's a universal message in verse 10. Which shall be to how many? All people. A personal message for the individual, the shepherd. And then a universal message for all people. That's you and that's me, isn't it? It's not only for the people who were alive then, 2,000 years ago. It's for people today. It's for you. It's for me. So we find the message to the shepherds was personal and it was universal. Second, the significance of that message. Look at verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Each one of us personally needs a Savior. Each one of us personally needs someone to save us from our sin, which the Bible says the wages of sin is death. One day you and I are going to die. I flipped open the paper today, and there was a whole section in there called the obituaries. It's in there every day, isn't it? Why? Because people die every day, don't they? And I flipped it open, and it was large. There were 3 or 4 pages, at least, in pictures, and I was looking through there. And you know, I'm always moved by this person had a story, had a family, had a life, had a, you know, had a testimony. And they have a soul. But last week, they were alive. This week, they're somewhere in eternity. The Bible says they're either in heaven with Christ or they're in hell with Satan, depending on what they did with the Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The significance of that message, a personal Savior. Each one of us personally needs a Savior. Each one of us has a sin nature. That sinful nature of ours causes us to sin. And when we sin, the Bible says we're called sinners. And God cannot allow a sinner into heaven unless their sin is paid for. I can whip out my wallet and I can say, all right, you take, you know, Visa, MasterCard, right? Not American Express, right? What do you take? I'm going to pay for my sin. I've got cash, all right? I've got less cash than I did, but oh, there's a 50. And wow, and I didn't spend it. I got cash. And God says, no, you can't pay for your sin with money. Well, let me try doing some good deeds. You can't pay for your sin by doing good deeds. How do I pay for my sin? Yet there's only one payment, and that is the Savior paid for your sin. He took all of your sins on his body, on the tree, when he died, and he paid for your sin with his blood. Now the only thing you and I have to do is receive that payment as our payment. The Savior was given, but the Savior has to be received. You have to receive that payment as your own payment, or you'll never have it. So we have a predicament. We're sinners. Now, these shepherds found something new that night that they didn't have before, and that something was hope. Well, we need hope today, don't we? There's hope that this world is not all there is. Boy, I'm so happy about that. You know, I'll be saying more about this in the future, but, you know, Pastor Barnes talked a little bit about the negative news and how we hear negativity all the time. You know, a lot of that negativity is meant to keep us off balance. Because we're just absorbing, oh, this happened, oh, that happened, oh, this is coming at you, that is coming at you. Hey, I've got something that's not negative, I've got something that's positive. Good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And these shepherds had something they didn't have before. When they went home that day, they had hope. There's hope today. That hope is only in Christ. That personal Savior is Christ the Lord. There is no other Savior. People worship a lot of different things. People worship deities, and people worship the creation, and people worship made-up gods and statues. But there is no other Savior than Christ the Lord. Now, they were given specific instructions. Look at verse number 12. They were given instructions on where to find that Savior. And this should be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, I was thinking one day, what does that mean? Swaddling clothes. We think of a receiving blanket, right? And grandmothers make a receiving blanket. You know, sometimes people donate things to the hospital, right? And you have a baby born, and they give you this blanket, and it's all cozy and nice. That's not what that means. The word swaddling clothes literally means grave clothes. They didn't have anything else to wrap the Savior in. They didn't have any room for him in the inn. He was born in a stable, in a manger where a trough is, where animals eat. And the only thing they could find to wrap him in were some grave clothes. Maybe they weren't used yet. Who knows? Maybe they were. And they wrapped him up in grave clothes. Isn't that kind of prophetic? Jesus Christ was born to die. And he died in your place, and he died in my place. Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the message was not only personal. Verse 13, it was universal. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you picture that? I mean, I sat in that field this week, and I thought about that message. And I thought, the angels must have appeared right here in the sky. I mean, right here. And that message that they gave was a universal message. Everyone can have the Savior as their Savior. Peace is available to man on earth from God in the highest. And that peace is through Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's no other lasting peace. You know, man makes peace and peace doesn't last. We drove through some places in the Gaza Heights, Golan Heights, and they have landmines there. And they didn't take them out. They just put signs on the side of the road. Don't walk here because you'll get exploded, right? Just landmines. Oh, there's no peace. They said this is a disputed territory. You have to, you know, keep it that in mind all the time. There's no peace in this world that's lasting only through Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:4-5. God wants to give us peace through Jesus Christ. And God says, when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll redeem you, I'll buy you back, I'll forgive your sin, I'll take you to heaven, and I'll adopt you into my family. Wow, that's a pretty good deal. That sounds like I'd like to have that. It's interesting. Grace and peace come through Jesus Christ. As you study, we won't do it this morning, but Paul wrote 14 different letters. We call them epistles. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? Philemon, Hebrews. You look at those 14 epistles that God used Paul to write. Almost every one of them, in the first 4-5 verses, almost every one of them starts out with grace and peace be unto you. And it's always in that order. On a few of them, it says grace, mercy, and peace. But grace always comes first. There can be no peace with God until you receive the grace of God. You can have no peace with God until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you will have grace and peace. You know, people often ask, why can't I have peace in my life? Why is my heart in turmoil? Why are all the things just rolling around in my mind? I can't get anything settled. Because you need Jesus Christ to do that for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, peace is available. You can try all kinds of methods. You can try all kinds of ideas. You can try all kinds of medication. You can go to psychotherapy, but you're not going to find the peace that Christ can give. Peace is available to man on earth, but grace and peace come only through Jesus Christ. Thirdly, what did that message do for them? We looked at the message to the shepherds. We looked at the significance of that message. Now, what did that message do for them, and what can that message do for you and me? Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They made haste to obey. The Lord made known unto them through his messengers, the angels. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know what they said immediately? Let's go find him. Hey, if there's a Savior available and it's Christ the Lord, I want that Savior. So they made haste to obey. Their immediate response was, let's go find him. Maybe you're here today and you've heard about the Savior. You've contemplated, can Jesus Christ be my Savior? Make haste. The Lord has made known unto you good tidings. Make haste. The Lord has made known unto you great joy. Make haste. The Lord has made known unto you peace to your heart in the question of eternity. Where am I going to spend forever? You know, there are people who were here with us last Christmas and they're in eternity. Next year, it'll be a different crowd. One of these years, you'll come and I'll be gone. Because we don't live forever. Where are we going to spend eternity? You can have peace in that question through the Savior. They made haste to obey. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, what a wonderful time of the year to find Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they said, you know, we want that Savior. We want to find him. And they went and found him. The Lord has made known unto you good tidings, great joy, peace. They found the message the Lord sent to be true, verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, exactly as the angel said. Can I tell you this morning, the Lord is dependable. What the Lord says is trustworthy. When is the last time you and I were disappointed by our fellow man? I mean, we get disappointed, right? Somebody gives you directions and they tell you the wrong thing, right? They promise you something. Maybe you buy something and it's not what you thought it would be. Somebody lies to you, right? Or somebody, they say they're going to do something or be somewhere and they're not there. They disappoint you. Look, we disappoint each other. But the Lord not only tells the truth, he overperforms. Oh, they had no idea who that little baby was, but when they found him, he's the Savior, Christ the Lord. And he overperforms. What did they do because of that? Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them. Could you finish the verse for me? Verse 17. Concerning this child. Notice the message of the shepherds was not about the mother. The message was about this child. Listen, if I walk out the front door and I get hit by a car and I'm laying there in the road, I don't say, get me the doctor's mother. I'm glad the doctor had a mother or else he wouldn't be here, right? But I say, hello, get me the doctor. Why? Because that's who I need. You don't need to worship anyone other than Jesus Christ. And you can't worship anyone other than Jesus Christ effectively. Concerning this child, oh, it's a shame what's happened to the world through this whole tragic worship of Mary. God was used Mary in an incredible way. God used Mary in a miraculous way, and I'm sure she's just as upset as anybody else if she knows what's going on. Whole religions have sprung up over worshiping Mary. This child was the Savior, not anyone else. Now notice the benefit received. The benefit received from hearing the tidings of the angel, from hearing the heavenly host, and obeying and seeing the Savior. Verse number 9. They went from fear, right? They had fear. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. They were sore afraid. Verse number 9. The angel said, fear not, to look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The benefit received was they went from fear to glorifying and praising God. Hey, the difference was the Savior. They saw the Savior. They heard the message, and then they saw the Savior. They went from fear to praising God, and the shepherds returned. They went back again. Where did they go? They went back to abiding in the fields. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. They returned to their families. They returned to their work. They returned to their responsibilities. You know, we don't find that the shepherds became, you know, flaming evangelists. It doesn't say that. But they told everyone that they could find what happened to them. They told everyone they could find about the Savior, Christ the Lord. They went back abiding in the fields. But there was something special added to their lives. They went back to keeping watch over their flock by night. But they now have met the good shepherd and the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. A life of duty. Maybe even drudgery. I mean, look, I wouldn't want to be a shepherd. What are you doing today? I'm watching sheep. Really? That sounds exciting. What are you doing tonight? I'm abiding in the field. Keeping watch over my flocks by night. Oh, that sounds awesome. How about tomorrow? Tomorrow is Monday. I'm watching sheep. Okay. What are you doing tomorrow night? Monday night football, right? I'm watching sheep. What are you going to do next week? What day? Saturday. I'm watching sheep. How about Sunday? Watching sheep. Abiding in the field by night. I mean, that's what they did. You don't get a day off. Sheep have to be watched. You don't get, hey, the sheep, you know, let them go hang out for a while. You know what? They're going to get eaten by a wolf, right? They're dumb. Boy, what a good illustration of us, right? I love going to the fair and asking the person tending the sheep, tell me something about sheep. And I always learn something about myself. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are, they get wayward, right? They're skittish. They get sick a lot. One sheep gets sick, it rubs up against another sheep, right? Makes them all sick. They all get sick. They gossip in the church, right? And you got to be careful, right? A bunch of mushrooms, right? I learned so much about myself. And so what are you doing next week? Sheep, tending the sheep, watching the sheep, abiding in the field, but a life of duty. Now, the Bible says here that they were rejoicing. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Your life of drudgery and your life of duty can be transformed when you remember we have heard of the Savior, Christ the Lord. And we obey the good tidings and see this child with our own eyes. That'll change your life. Hey, my life is sometimes pretty boring. It's pretty much the same thing. It's pretty much a drudgery sometimes. But you know what? I've got something added to it. Christ is my Savior. Now I can look back and say, hey, you know, even in my, I remember that one day, boy, back in 1971, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul, and He's taking me to heaven someday. Not because I'm good, not because of anything I've done, but because Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood, He was buried, and He rose again. And yes, the tomb is still empty. And He's coming back. And when I die, I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, I think I can get through some more drudgery knowing that at the end, it's not all there is. I'm going to heaven someday. Here they were, a life of mundane duty. Maybe drudgery was transformed. Here's the question. Do you need to remember when you saw the Savior? They saw the Savior. Can you imagine the story they told for the rest of their lives? Hey, one day, what do you do as a shepherd? Well, every day it's kind of the same. Every day it's kind of the routine. Every day we go here, and every day we eat grass, and every day we drink water, and every day we put the sheep to bed, and every day we lay in that doorway of the cave, and every day, except for one day. Let me tell you about one day. Oh, that was a special day. I imagine somebody else would chime in and say, oh, yeah, you know, you were afraid. Your knees were knocking. I saw you. And then the angel said, fear not. And boy, we went to Bethlehem, and I don't know where those sheep were. Maybe they brought them all with them. And can you imagine the one guy got left behind? I don't know. And so they go, and they see Jesus, and their life is transformed. Maybe you need to remember when you saw the Savior. Here's a second thought. Or maybe you've heard about the Savior, and He can be your Savior. Can I encourage you? Make haste to see. Make haste to see. Let's